Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish, the podcast that dissects science and takes a look down the microscope at controversial topics in research. I'm Alice Gray and I'm joined by
Vicky Blight
and
Ty Aziz.
And we're back again talking about artificial intelligence.
I'm so excited by this one. Who did you speak to? What did you find out? Was it as interesting slash scary as we thought it was going to be?
It was mind-blowing, if I'm honest. And I think what we always forget is we interact with artificial intelligence on an everyday basis. So the first person we spoke to was talking about artificial intelligence in the hospitality and travel industry, which you don't think about being having robots in, but every time you talk to a customer service forum, like on a live chat, that's not a human, that is a robot. So like,
I did not know this, right? So I do this a lot, you know, whether it's like your broadband or your phone upgrade, because you're on the website, aren't you? And then it just pops in like, live chat, can I help you? And you think, oh, okay then. And you put in bits and pieces. So you're saying I'm talking to a robot. It's not Ralph in Bradford.
It's not Ralph in Bradford.
Yeah, so they have different algorithms that will look for certain sentences. So you're asking for help from Ralph in Bradford about your broadband connection. And you're saying, my broadband's not working and I want to just watch cute kitten videos on YouTube. So Ralph on YouTube, who is actually a robot, is just programmed to look for certain sentences.
Like kitten videos, no, I'm joking. Like slow broadband, yeah.
Slow broadband, and then we'll follow a procedure of what it has to do next and what it will tell you to do.
Oh my God, I'm going to have so much fun now. I'm literally going to write all kinds of shit in there and and see what they respond to it, because it's just...
Hey, beautiful.
Hey, sexy, how you doing? What if it is Ralph in Bradford? He's going to be like, I think this is inappropriate. Yeah, I think this is inappropriate.
Hey, baby, I can't stop thinking about you. And he's like, we're a small organisation, can I help you?
If you'd rather pick up the phone.
No, don't pick up the phone.
No, don't pick up the phone.
Yeah, because like, it'll look for sentences, and by the time it stops recognising those sentences, that's when you get seamlessly passed on to a real human being, and you are none the wiser. Yeah. And I mean, in the travel and hospitality industry, a face-to-face interaction is really, really important. Like, it's really hard to imagine how that's going to take over the travel and the travel and hospitality industry, because we get so much feedback when we're talking to one another, and how is human experience of your holiday going to be affected if you're talking to a robot?
Yeah, that shapes it though, isn't it? Because if you go to a really nice hotel and you're greeted by someone who seems very happy to see you and shows you everything in your room and makes it personal, then you feel like, oh well, this, we're going to have a lovely time and we're well looked after, and actually there's someone I can go to, and if there's a problem with anything, oh, I'm sure they'll sort it out. And that shapes your experience. But if you're greeted by just a flat screen that you have to press a few buttons and put your card in, and then you're basically follow some lights to your room, and then you know, you watch a kind of how-to video on the TV that tells you how to switch your shower on, and you know, you're literally talking about, you could take every person out of this and just have all these sort of information stations and instruction videos. And, you know, enter, I want steak and chips, thanks. And in 15 minutes, your steak and chip comes out, wheeled out on a... It's so weird.
It's so impersonal.
But it doesn't seem that far-fetched.
Or imagine, I get joy about the thought of, like, them malfunctioning and just a robot, like, continuously handing you towels. Just like, no more towels! No, I can't take these towels!
See, I'm, like, thinking more pudding, you know, like chocolate fondant or something, you know, more... Yes, I'll have another. Yes, I'll have another. Yeah, no. Lovely.
Because there's that hotel that's run entirely by robots, so imagine if they all went on strike or something. I don't know, because we talk about how AI learns from each other. Imagine if they all organised it.
Workers' rights. Yeah.
Yeah, or like, yeah,
I've worked a 10-hour shift and I've not had a break. I'm shutting down.
Imagine this robot going out for a second.
Control Alt Delete. Yeah. Gone.
Cause, wow. Yeah, so like, imagine if you were ordering breakfast and you were like, that's not what I ordered, and it just kept bringing you the same thing. You wouldn't get...
Or what about a robot walking into your room after you've just gotten out of the shower? Or maybe having an intimate moment with your partner? Is it the same weirdness as, like, a robot walking into your room?
Depends if there's a webcam on there or not. Like,
hi! Imagine him turning up, can I help?
I think we're good.
I mean, I don't know whether it'd be cool or not.
I think there are, right, so I think there is a section of society and a certain personality type that actually that would really rock their world. Like they'd find it amazing and futuristic and, you know, feel like we're, you know, living in the sci-fi Star Trek-esque kind of, you know, you think about an episode of Star Trek back in the day and, you know, they'd walk up to the little machine and out would come their food and, you know, no one prepared their food. It came, it just sort of, it was there.
it
zhuzhed and it was there. But, you know, I think there is a section of people that, yeah, would find it great because maybe they don't enjoy human interaction. Maybe they don't want the interruption when they're on holiday. Maybe they do want to feel quite self-sufficient. Without having to rely on other humans and people and I don't know, yeah, I think it's the type of person that you know does want their house completely kitted out in voice controlled activated bits and bobs.
It's where we bring up sex robots.
Possibly.
Sex robots. Because if you're someone that's completely not interested in interacting with human beings, then sex robots is a good option for you.
And that is the reality for a lot of people in different parts of the world. Maybe not in Western society.
No. I've never met a sex robot. I don't think I've met someone who's used one.
They don't announce themselves as a sex robot.
Do they not? Do they not come in like a full outfit?
Hello.
Like,
I'm a sex robot. Tell me if you have...
We're back to Ralph in Bradford.
An erotic novel, Ralph in Bradford, the sex robot.
The adventures of his sex
Ralph
robot.
Ralph in Bradford, if you're listening, we're on to you.
Yeah. It's the next 50 Shades of Grey, but like 50 Shades of Aluminium.
Oh my God. But okay, so there are, okay, so how many of us have gone, do you know what? I can't be asked to go shopping this week. I haven't got time. I'm really busy. I haven't got time to do the big shop or whatever. So I'll just do it online, get it delivered. And I know exactly when it's coming and everything else. So, you know, sounds simple, easy. We go online, we tap in what we want. It remembers what we like. Blah, done.
That sounds like a sex robot.
enter in your order. Exactly when you want it.
Yeah.
It remembers what you like. Happy days, saves time.
We'll turn this into a drinking game. If you hear the word sex robots, please take a drink.
Yeah, please.
We've got tea, which yeah. would be really, really...
Have a swig. But there are so many aspects of our general life that we rely on a kind of automated system, an automated setup to make our life easier. So I think it's that line between productivity, whether we're talking about an assembly line in a factory, or, you know, from a hospitality point of view, wanting the brand to be consistent and you have exactly the same experience whichever day you go, whatever time you go. So there's that consistency versus the human touch and that empathy and that enhanced experience where you can't have both.
No.
So it then comes down to what do you find more important? Do you want something efficient that you know is going to be exactly the same every time you do it? Or do you want life experience? Do you want to meet people? Do you want someone to shape you, to change your life, an experience you have, you know, to be a memory, to be that special moment? I don't think you can have a special moment with AI. I'm sure you could have a moment, yeah. But I'm not sure how special that would be.
Talking about labour, one of the people we talked to, she was talking about how, I mean, we've all seen it on the TV and on the adverts, like those giant claw arms that pick up car parts, and it's essentially taking the human labour part of it out, which is why people are scared of AI, essentially, is that they're scared that it's going to take their jobs, and it's likely that it will, and it'll likely most affect lower income people who are doing skilled labour, and it'll leave the sort of thinking, the abstract creative thinking to the humans, and that's what I think people are scared about, as well as like the sex robots all getting together and
having a massive orgy.
Taking you over the world. Sorry. Like you went there.
Sorry. Sorry. It's just, you know, it's the train of thought we're on. You've got to get into the mind of these things. But no, so Okay, so again, back to the things that already exist. We walk into the supermarket, we've got self-service tills. There's no one there, we can just scan our goods and out we go again. Easy. We don't have to chat to anyone, we don't have to, you know, answer whether we want a hand with our shopping being packed. It's all there, it's all waiting for us, it's all set up. You know, you go to a drive-through now and you can just enter your order. You don't necessarily have to speak to anyone. You can just, you don't even have to get out your car. You know, all of those things are already in our life, but you're just basically talking about amplifying them and kind of making them supersized. So it's like, you know, the big fancy cruise ships, you're talking about, you know, AI in hospitality and in the hotels and things. So you go on the big fancy cruise ships and they've got like cocktail bars which are completely robotic. So you just got to the thing and you want gin, a little bit of tonic.
Gin.
Little squeeze of lime. Gin, right? Lots of ice. No straws though, no plastic straws.
No plastic straws.
Let's put that on. So, you know, you enter your little order of what you fancy, and then you just wait and watch this arm go shaky, and make your drink and deliver it perfectly. Obviously the same every time, it should be, because it's just computerized. Yeah. That already exists. So how long is it before we go to a restaurant and you go up to a sushi bar and there's a robot behind there just chopping away?
Yeah, I think it already exists.
I think it probably does.
I've seen robots that are in restaurants and they use this special kind of technology to monitor the heat in different burgers, and they can see which burgers are cooking to what level. So if you want a rare steak, it can monitor the heat, the temperature in this steak and tell you that it's rare or it's medium or it's well done. And it does it for burgers, and they do it for steak, and they can put together all these like really complicated dishes, and all you have to do is write a program for the recipe you want.
But again, right, so my question is, how much of an effect does the programmer have on the AI? So if you've got someone that's writing the program for it and they have a real passion for rare steak or something, are they literally going to sort of subconsciously write a bias in? But, you know, taking that further, if they are submitting, I don't know, like historical evidence of this is what the peaks are, this is what people tend to order, this is what, you know, we expect, and this is the delivery time, you know, that's their subjective, it's based on their research, based on their instinct. So does the AI take on a little bit of them, like, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting because we spoke to someone about bias in AI, and that is a real problem, is that because AI learns from humans, and we're all, you know, garbage, it's going to look at the trends and it's going to apply it to what it knows. So there was an example where they built an algorithm that was designed to calculate appropriate sentence times and probation times for criminals, and it found, because it was learning from historical references, and obviously we have issues in racial profiling in law enforcement, that it gave longer sentences for people who were non-white. So it's quite scary. That's, really.
Yeah, it's shocking. But it's those subtleties, because again, we mentioned, you know, AI is picking up on pattern and repetition, and an AI would recognize a pattern possibly before a human would. And so they're just like, well, this is the way it's done because this is the pattern, so we'll just extrapolate out. And then it becomes something hugely racist or hugely sexist, or, I mean, it's just worrying.
I think this is where we need to introduce our fourth podcast co-host. Hey Siri, are you a racist?
Sorry, I don't really know.
That's what they all say. He'll be saying that he can't see colour next.
Aspect of, you know, me saying straight away, like, oh, your Siri's male. Yeah. Because my Siri's an Australian female. I don't know why. I've clearly got a passion for Aussie women. But we can pick the voice and we can pick the accent, you know, even if you're like your sat nav in your car or whatever. You know, you lean towards a certain thing. So you're like, oh, I'd like mine to sound like this. But that's just a small step in terms of, you know, we're talking about forming relationships and friendships and back to sex bots and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if a teenager is struggling to interact and feels that, you know, can't get that sort of emotional response or that connection with someone, and then, you know, turns to AI as a way of kind of experimenting and finding their way, then you know, it's being able to almost like shop for your perfect partner.
Yeah.
Or perfect, you know, voice, look, movement, body type, you know, then everything is becoming tailor-made, and everyone is basically just wanting perfect. They want exact and perfect. So how does that exist in a world where we're not perfect and we're not all the same?
That's
and
what's driving a lot of the sales for sex bots and human companions in different Asian countries, where men could literally design a wife and they could decide what colour skin she has and what eye colour she has and design exactly what they want. But is that something that we should be worried about? Are our teenagers and children going to be brought up around AI so much that they forget how to interact with humans and they don't learn human social skills?
Yeah, well, like, from a neuroscience perspective, when we're growing up, we learn how to be human by interacting with people, because what makes us human is empathy, and you learn to feed off each other, and you get a feedback mechanism, and it creates a bonding moment between you. So if you're talking to something that seems animated, but it's technically an inanimate object, how are you going to learn to be empathetic? How are you going to learn to bond with people? And going back to sex robots, do a podcast
another
just about
swig
sex
of tequila
robots.
There.
I watch a lot of documentaries because I have a lot of spare time, and I end up exhausting the normal sort of programs on Netflix, and I end up watching the weird ones about people who build sex robots in their sheds. And there was this guy, and he was designing his perfect woman and then trying to sell them to people, and it was like he had this like fully anatomically correct woman that's hips moving.
Yeah, but was she fully anatomically correct?
Correct.
Designed by a man, I'm wondering whether everything is in the right place, but let's move on.
Yeah, but then he had to get rid of her because she just like moved in a way that was painful and stuff. Ooh. And like too viciously. Ooh. And you're just like,
wow.
It's that thing of like, you could just create it. You don't need to go and talk to a real woman who has emotions and is complex. And that's what being human is about. It's about getting pissed off at people because they're really annoying, but you still love them. Dichotomy within relationships.
But that's the thing. If you've got this perfect AI that responds in the exact way that you want it to, how does that then affect your personality and your growth as a human? Because if it's programmed, say Siri or, you know, Google or whatever was programmed to basically just tell you what you want to hear, it's like, you know, it's like the fairy tale of looking in the mirror and saying, who's the fairest of them all? Of course you are, I know. You know, it's if it was always reflecting back what you wanted in order to make your life perfect, how does that make you a well-rounded, well-adjusted human? What effect is that going to have on us mentally, our mental health, our ability to communicate, our ability to function in the world, like holding down a job or going to school? Or, you know, it has so many ramifications. Yeah. It's not just about getting your shopping or your sex delivered really quickly. Yeah. And it's time saving. I can do this. I can do that. I can do that. I haven't got time for a relationship. I haven't got time for dating. So I can get off and it's fine. Yeah. And I can move on with my life and I can achieve my goals. But what is that creating ultimately?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because from a human perspective, and again, to bring it back to neuroscience, touch is so important for humans. It releases oxytocin, which is bonding, because we're herd animals. We're meant to be in communities. And so if you're not getting touch, that's, again, not to bring about a sexual, if you're not just, like, having skin-on-skin contact, like, having a hug from someone, it really affects your mental health. Actually, in Catalonia, there's a thing called castanyes, where you form human towers. And actually, as part of mental health therapy, they prescribe you to join a group, because to join, make a human tower, you have to hold people, you have to get close to people. Yeah. Because a lot of people who have mental health issues, they end up isolating themselves, and that makes it worse. Whereas you have to go and grab people and get that physical contact we need, it's really good for your brain. So that's a really interesting point about mental health and the development of AI in overtaking our society.
And that is that's giving so much research into all of these dolls and sex bots that are being developed. We're just gonna go back to sex bots again. But you're right, with human touch is so important, and there's so much research going into how can we make these dolls feel as realistic as possible and make the silicone that they use for their skin as skin-like and warm.
Oh, and
Alice was just a little bit sick in her mouth, I'm just gonna be honest.
But that's what gives us the illusion that it's a real person. And
but we're living in a fantasy, and again, it's a virtual reality, isn't it? In the 90s, I think, you know, you look back and look at films in the 90s, and I think probably when we were teenagers and students and things, it's that kind of, oh, well, a virtual reality, like a second life, you know, this way of having a different persona, but it was kind of a game, or it was just for fun. Whereas that different persona now can be, you know, bloody catfishing and stuff like that. You know, it's real. It's you can have a whole social media profile. You can have an online life exactly how you want it to be, and get everything you need from that, as well as have your real life. But is it real? Is it not? The crossover now is just, because AI is so within our real life, are we going to have a whole generation that can't judge reality or fantasy because you don't know what is real?
I think that's a terrifying but perfect way to end our podcast for AI, is where are we now looking at less of a reality and more of a virtual reality? So that's food for thought for our listeners. So until next time, see you later. Yeah.